Hallelujah. Father, we give you the glory tonight. We honor you and reverence you. Thank you for being so good. Father, we just magnify you. Father God, you just amaze us. We're so glad to be saved tonight. Father, thank you for the privilege, the honoring, high call of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, there's no greater privilege. There's no greater honor other than just being saved. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Your word has the power to transform our lives. And so tonight, as we hear the word of God, we are active listeners. We will not be like bumps on a log. We actively listen to your word tonight. We know that your word is just dripping with anointing. We know that your word has the answer to every question we face, every situation, every circumstance. Your word tonight has the answer. And so we have a great confidence in the mighty word of God. We know your word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So, Father, we trust you. We look to you. Thank you for the good Holy Ghost tonight. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Father, he's our great helper tonight. Father, thank you. Thank you for helping your people. We are all your sheep. This is your pasture. And so, Father, we just believe and invite you to speak to your people. Speak a word to every person listening to this message. Speak a word directly into the ears of every person listening, whether listening live stream or some other venue. Speak a mighty word to every ear that hears this message. Use your Holy Spirit to personally guide and direct your people. Father, you know, we just be so careful to give you all of the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We thank you for helping all those in Oklahoma City. We thank you for helping the Hagans and all who are with them. We thank you for all that you're doing and all that you shall do in our midst tonight and what shall be accomplished as we believe and speak your word tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Glory to God. We'll turn and tell one more person that you love them tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Am I okay on this? How about now? Is this okay? Can you hear me? Hallelujah. Okay, praise God. Glory to God. Well, let's thank Holly and the whole team of frontline singers and the band, musicians, and anointed folk, and all of them anointed, everyone. We thank God for them. Hallelujah. How you doing, saints? Praise God. He's a good God. Amen. He's a mighty good God. You have your Bible. Go with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Several days ago, we were waiting on the Lord, asking the Lord, what should we share? Lord, what would you have for the people on Sunday night, coming up on Sunday night? And as we were waiting on the Lord, we woke up one morning and we felt encouraged to read Mark chapter 6. And when we did, these verses jumped out at us. We're going to read 35 to 44. And then, if you don't mind, we're going to read 47 to 52. And but before I read the word, let me just ask you, has the Lord ever done something so outstanding, I mean, so amazing in your life that it just defied all of the odds? It just defied, not belief, because you trusted him and believe in him, but all human expectation other than your belief in him. Has the Lord ever done something so amazing that it just left you in awe of who he is? Anybody in here? Let me see your hand. Let me see you testify. The Lord there, he's done something for you. I mean, something for you personally that left you just in awe of what he did. And you know that that was God. It's amazing how he does it. I remember back in, this would have been the early 80s, and my mom was ill and having surgery, and I'd gone to see my mom at the hospital, and I came back home. I'd locked myself out of the house, and in those days, I hate to admit this, there were no cell phones in those days. Young folk don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, there was no cell phone, I was in college, I had an important, the school was calling me about something that was very important. I had agreed to receive their call at a certain time, and they were going to call at that time, and I made it back home. By that time, when I made it back home, I discovered I'd locked myself out of the house. I mean, just flat out locked myself out of the house. Tried the front doors, locked. We had a side door, tried the side door, was locked. Tried the back door, it was locked. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I forget the exact circumstance of why I had to get that call, but I had to have that call. I had to get that call, and the time was approaching for them that when they said they would call. And I'd gone around and checked all the doors again. They're all locked. There's no way in. My thought was really, I need to break the window. And then I thought, well, breaking the window, I've got to get back to school. I don't have time to have the window repaired before I can get to school. I can't break the window either. I don't know what I'm going to do. And as the moments ticked off, then the phone began to ring. But I'm still on the outside. I'm effectively on the back porch, and the phone is ringing on the wall in the kitchen, and the door is locked. And I tried the door again. The door is locked. And I just said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need to get this call. And the door opened right in my hand. I said, the door, a locked door opened in my hand. And I left there saying, God, you an awesome God. You are an awesome God. I ain't never seen nothing like that before. A locked door opened in my hand. I said, you're an awesome, awesome God. And he did something the likes of that, a different scenario and situation here that we're about to read. And I know you have your own testimony. Let's go to the word and then let's talk about that. We're in Mark chapter 6. And then at 35, it says the people... I'm sorry, 35. When it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate and it's already quite late. Send them away so that they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go look. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. And they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves. And he kept giving. He kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces and also of the fish. And there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Now skip down to verse 47. We'll go from 47 to 52 and I'll stop reading. 47, we're in Mark 6, 47. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea. And he was alone on the land, seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. At about the 4th watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And he intended to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them, and said to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. And then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped. And they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. Several days ago when I read verse 52, that jumped off the page at me, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. You know, first of all, this message tonight, 3 things that you should know about the feeding of the 5,000. That's the title of this message. 3 things you should know about the feeding of the 5,000. 3 things you should know about the feeding of the 5,000. It is interesting to me that after Jesus walks on the water, after he calms their fears, after he gets into the boat, after the wind that buffeted them, when he got in the boat, the wind immediately died down. And the scripture says how I felt at the door holding that doorknob when the door opened that night. They were utterly astonished. And you testified with me that God has done things in your life that you would characterize the same way. We're just in awe of him, or we could say it that way, utterly astonished. But after that, it says, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. In other words, there was the power of the miracle that he did, which was amazing. But then there was a lesson that he wanted them to glean. There was a message that he wanted them to get. He wanted a message to just abound in their heart about something. And the scripture says they hadn't gained any insight. They experienced the miracle, but didn't gain any insight from it. And no doubt there are things that God has done in your life, God's done in my life. And, he might say the same thing. Did we gain insight? Did we gain any insight? Did we gain enough insight? Because, as believers, each victory that we gain in Christ, each victory will help us some other victory to win. And so there's insight. There's insight that must be gained. Now, first of all, let me just say about the background of how this all started. The disciples were extremely busy. They were going through an extremely busy time. And 6:30 and 31 tell us that, just above that, Jesus had sent them out. And he had given them authority, and he sent them out to minister. And they had been out ministering using the name of Jesus, and they came back and they were sharing their experiences of having just been out ministering. He'd sent them out two by two. And so then, of course, the scripture talks about how there's a discourse about how Herod had cut off John the Baptist's head, and Jesus' disciples are still dealing with the news of having found out that Herod cut John the Baptist's head off. And the Bible says they were so busy. When you read verse 30 and 31, 32, the Bible says the disciples and Jesus, they were so busy that they didn't even have time to eat. That's how busy they were. And Jesus, recognizing it, he told them, he said, I want you all to come alone by yourselves to a secluded place. We need to get away. We need to get a break. We need to gain some perspective, gain some balance, gain some rest, whatever, but we need to get away. And so that's what they were endeavoring to do. And when they got in the boat to go to the location to get away, they weren't going to do, you get the picture, they weren't doing ministry, they were just going to be ministered to. And when they got in the boat to go there, the people on land looked at what direction the boat was going in. And they said, oh, they're going to such and such a town. And the people ran on foot there. And so when Jesus and the disciples landed at the town, the people was waiting on them. And the Bible said Jesus got out of that boat and he immediately felt compassion. And he ministered to them. A lot of people would have got out of the boat and said, oh, Lord, look at these people. These people didn't follow us. They didn't figure out where we're going. We were trying to get away from y'all. Don't y'all know we was trying to get away from you? I bet the disciples felt like that, but not Jesus. Jesus felt compassion. And Jesus ministered to them. He gave them the word. And after giving them the word, then the disciples came up to Jesus and they said to him privately, they said, listen, I'm paraphrasing. They said, we have a problem, Jesus. The people have been here. Now we're already at a secluded place. We're supposed to be having a retreat here. There's not a lot around here because we're supposed to come here to have quietness and solitude to be ministered to. And they didn't follow us all the way out here. And whenever you start thinking that people are your problem, you've been at work too long. Because people are not your problem. I said, whenever you get to thinking that people are annoying, people are your problem, you need a break. You need to get away for a minute because that ain't the problem. But they told Jesus, they said, Jesus, we need to send these people away because in a minute they're going to get hungry and then they're going to need something to eat. Then they're going to take the rest of our time. I'm paraphrasing, He said, we should send them away now. Send them to the towns and villages. Let them buy themselves something to eat or we're going to have a major problem on our hand. If we don't get rid of the people, get rid of them now. We're going to have a problem. First, they interrupted our trip. Now they're going to get hungry. Send them away. And Jesus looked at the disciples and said, you give them something to eat. What a powerful word from the master. More than just an encouragement, it was a directive. Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And how many know when Jesus says something, we can take it to the bank. When the Lord tells you to do something, you can take that to the bank. When the Lord gives you the okay, when the Lord speaks to your heart and tells you something, you can take it to the bank. He told them, you give them something to eat. And what happened next is really something that happens in our lives if we really examine our lives. They thought about what Jesus said. He just told us to feed them. And so they thought it through in the natural as far as their mind and their thoughts could take them. And they said, in effect, if we worked and made 200 denarii, a denarius was one day's wage, so essentially talking about 8 months. If we worked for 8 months, we couldn't buy enough bread to feed the crowd. The Bible said there were 5,000 men that ate, didn't count the women and children. He clearly had a crowd over 10,000. The Bible said 5,000 men. But the women and children in the crowd, they got the lunch from he told me, you know, you feed them. And they thought it through in the natural. If we work for 8 months, we would not have enough resources to solve the problem. What you're asking us to do is impossible. You say, why are you bringing this up, Brother Bill? Because sometimes when the Lord speaks to our heart, sometimes he says something similar to us. And we respond the same way. That is, the disciples responded in the natural. They responded with natural thinking. They approached an unsolvable problem with just human thinking, human reasoning. How am I going to solve it? We'd have to go to work. We worked 8 months and cha-ching. We worked 8 months. We didn't got enough. We can't feed them. They're in the natural in their thinking. But Jesus is over in the spirit. He's waiting for them to join them in the spirit. Somebody listen to this message right now. The Lord's waiting on you too. You didn't try to solve your problem every way you can in the natural. And he's waiting for you to enter that realm of faith and trust him and believe him. And so they just said, there is no way. And Jesus said, listen, how much bread do you have? How big is the problem? How much bread and how much fish do you have? They said, we don't know. Jesus said, go check. And they came back with the report, we got 5 loaves and we got 2 fish. So I want to share 3 points to you, 3 things you should know about the feeding of the 5,000. And the first point is this, that he's the God who's more than enough. The first lesson they should have gleaned, they should have took, before, beyond the miracle, they should have carried the power and the awesomeness of the miracle with them. But then as they face trial and circumstance, what should have jumped out of their spirit is the same God who fed more than 10,000 people is the God who's on my situation tonight. And he's the God who's more than enough. And if that situation wasn't, if feeding 10,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish couldn't stop him, nothing can stop him. I said, if he could feed more than 10,000 people with 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread, I said, God can help you get your rent paid. I said, if he can feed 10,000 people, he can give you a better job than the one that you had. I said, if he can feed 10,000 people, he can put bread on your table. I said, if he can feed 10,000 people, he can put a roof over your head. I said, if he can feed 10,000 people, there's no need that you're facing that God himself can't meet. He's the God who's more than enough. He wanted them to draw inference from the power of the miracle that any God who can feed 10,000 people with 5 fish, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, any God who can do that is a God who can solve your problem. He's a God who's worthy of your trust. He's a God who's faithful to come through. He's a God who's more than able and willing. I wish I had an amen in here. I said, any God who can do that. I said, it doesn't matter what you're facing. You may be going through situation, trial, circumstance tonight. Oh, but the same God who saw you through, the same God who opened doors for you, the same God who did it for you in the past, the same God who gave you that job, he's the same God who put a roof over your head. He's the same God put clothes on your back. He's the same God put the bread on your table. He's the same God who has seen you through time and then time again. You went down on a bended knee crying, saying, Father, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Don't know how I'm going to get through the month. But oh, God stepped into your situation and made a way. He's the same God. I said, he's the God who's more than enough. It's interesting because when you get over into, that's chapter 6, but when you read over into chapter 8, They're on their way somewhere, the disciples and Jesus, and they have another problem. They forgot to take bread. They forgot to bring bread. And they're in the boat, when you read chapter Mark 8, they're in the boat arguing. You forgot the bread. No, you forgot the bread. It was your turn to bring the bread. You should have bought the bread. Now what we gonna eat? Now what we gonna do? Now we got to be hungry all day? We got to be hungry? Now look what's happening. And Jesus, the Bible says, became aware of their conversation in the back of the boat. And he began to question them. And he said, you were there when I performed the miracle. When I fed the 5,000 men, you were there. He said later, when I performed the miracle of the 4,000, you were there. And he said, didn't you see it? Didn't you draw inference from that? Didn't you get a message from that? Didn't that teach you something? Oh, your God, he's the God who's more than enough. I said, how big is your problem? It really don't matter, because God is bigger than your problem. And not only that, he's the God in you. Can I say it that way? I said, he's the God in you. And my Bible said, greater is he that is in me than he that, I wish I had some help in here, than he that is in the world. I said, God in you is greater than anything outside of you that's coming against you. And they were facing the wind in that boat. Jesus later, because of what had happened and how the crowd had followed him, Jesus then told the, after he preached to the crowd and after he fed the 5,000, I say 5,000, crowd more than 10,000, you add in the women and children, after he fed them, then the Lord, he told the disciples, get into a boat and now y'all go to the other side, told them where to go. But the people had their eyes on Jesus. They didn't care where the disciples went. They're looking at Jesus. Jesus didn't get in the boat. So once the disciples got a good distance away, Jesus dismissed the crowd. He went on up in the mountain to pray. And then when he comes down from the mountain of prayer, the Bible says he's standing on the seashore, and they are at this time hours. They have been gone for hours. But the Bible says from the seashore, from the land, from dry land, he sees them straining at the oar. He sees the wind coming against them. He on dry land. They hours away. And the Bible said he went to walking on the water toward them. Which brings me to my second point. He's the God who sees what you're going through. You say, what was your first point? He's the God who's more than enough. What's your second point? He's the God. He sees what you're going through. You ought to write down Psalm 56 verse 8. Because David said, you are aware of my wanderings. You're aware of every place I go. And not only that, you've counted all my tears. And not only that, you've placed my tears in your bottle. David was saying, you care about me so much. You care about my situation so much. You're so compassionate to me so much. Till you have gone to counting every tear I've cried. Woo! You don't know how many tears you've cried. But your heavenly Father has counted every tear. The Bible says he's placed your tears in his bottle, written your tears in his book. I said, God, he sure enough cares about you. He cares about you. He's the God who sees what you're going through. That's my second point. He's the God. He sees what you're going through. So often believers go through things and they start asking goofy questions like, God, don't you see me? God, don't you care? God, don't you see me this time? I know you did it before, but don't you see? Well, if you say, God, I know you did it before, but don't you see me? There's something you didn't learn about what he did. You testified. God has done some awesome things in your life, like me. You testified with me. But there are times, and if you have to go asking God, don't you see me? Don't you care? Don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you see what they're doing to me? God, don't you see? Wait a minute. You missed some insight along the way. Because he's the God who's more than enough. And he's the God who sees what you're going through. Over there in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season, casting all your care upon him, because he what? He cares for you. My brother and sister, God cares so much about you. You get over there reading in Psalm 139, it said he's counted all your steps. You say, that's impossible. I haven't finished my steps today, Brother Bill. God already knows how many steps you've taken today, and you haven't even completed all your steps. The Bible said that God has counted every hair on your head. Every hair on your head, God knows. The Bible said a sparrow can't fall to the ground without God knowing about it. What's your point? He knows and he cares. He's the God. He's the God. He sees what you're going through. He's the God who sees what you're going through. And God, he cares so deeply about you. In both of these situations, he had compassion. He had such compassion on people. Here in Mark 6, let me tell you, when the people found out where they were going and went ahead of them and he's just trying to get some rest, man, he had compassion on them. He cared about the people. And Mark 8, the people again are pulling on him. And the Bible says again, in Mark chapter 8, before he feeds the 4,000, he had compassion on them. What we read in 47 to 52 of Mark chapter 6, he saw them from the seashore. They were miles away, beyond the realm of physical sight. And he saw them in the boat. He saw the wind coming against them. He saw them straining at the oars. He saw it all. And he went walking on the water to go and check on his people. And I said, there's nothing that the Lord won't do to check on you. To make sure you're all right. He loves you like that. He is that kind of father, and he loves you personally like that. And he went to check on them. And the Bible says, when you read the account, he's walking on the water and they're straining at the oars and the wind is against them. And he's walking on the water, just making sure everything's all right. And he attempts to walk by them when they see him. And then they cried out. They thought it was a ghost. They were terrified. And he ran over to the boat and got in the boat. And when the moment he got in the boat, the wind died down just like that. And when they saw the wind obeyed him, they were utterly astounded. And the Bible said they hadn't learned the lesson from the feeding of the 5,000. Because that shouldn't have shocked them that the wind obeyed him. It shouldn't have shocked them that sickness obeys him. It shouldn't have shocked them that pain and suffering shortages have to obey him. It shouldn't have shocked them that everything that he has authority over everything, and everything has to obey him. So he's the God who's more than enough. He's the God who sees what you're going through. And he's the God who's given you authority to use the name of Jesus. That's my third point. I said he's the God who's given you the authority to use the name of Jesus. If you didn't hear Pastor's message today, it was powerful. And you should get that. He spoke about the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, this is my third point. He is the God who's given you the authority to use the name of Jesus. Go with me real quick. We're running now. Go with me real quick to the book of John, in John chapter 14. I said, he's the God who's given you the authority to use the name of Jesus. Why are you sitting on your word? Why are you sitting on the name? Whatever situation you're facing, you need to be using the name. Use the authority that he gave you. I said, you're going through a struggle. You're going through a battle. He gave you that name. He's the God who's given you authority to use that name. You can't get no amen teaching that. In John 14, verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I said, he's the God who's given you authority. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's given you authority to use the name. In John 15, look at John 15 with me. verse 16. John 15, verse 16. These scriptures should bring joy to your spirit. John 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he's going to give it to you. Can't get no amen. John 16. Okay, I'll just keep quoting scripture. We're going to be here till midnight till you give me some amens. John 16, verse 23. John 16 and verse 23. In that day. And by the way, when Jesus said in that day, that's the day we're living in. Glory be to God. Woo! That day is today. Hallelujah. John 16, 23. In that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask that you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. Woo, glory be to God. Jesus, he gave us his name. Listen, he's the God who's given you authority to use his name. John 15, 7, he said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask what you will and it shall be done. Here in this story in Mark that we were reading, Jesus told the disciples, you feed them. And the moment he said, you feed them, he released his will. And he was expecting them to get out of the natural, to shift out of the natural, to say, he just spoke the word. He just told us to feed more than 10,000 people. So there's got to be a way. Let me get out of the natural. Father, help me find the solution, because you just told me to feed more than 10,000 people. So the answer is already here. They should have been looking in the spirit. They should have been looking from the eyes of their spirit, and they were looking with natural eyes. And so they could not see what Jesus could see. But when Jesus asked, what do you have? Listen, sometimes you have to give God something to work with. Can't get no amen there. I said, sometimes God will give you instruction and will have you do something that you have. He told them, go find out how many fish and bread you have. How many pieces of bread do you have? How much fish do we got? I need something to work with. They went and searched the whole crowd, came back with 5 loaves and 2 fish, searching a whole crowd like that. And Jesus didn't say, oh man, 5 loaves, 2 fish. Oh, that ain't gonna meet the need. Oh, what are we gonna do now? Oh Lord. He didn't do that. He said, give it to me. You got something for me to work with? Bring it to me. The disciples said, Jesus, this ain't enough. We got a crowd of more than 10,000. Bring it to me. Jesus said, I do addition by multiplication. Bring it to me. And he offered up the thanks. And the rest of the story we know. It was multiplied. And your God, he's got the power to multiply your resources. What looks too short today will be multiplied tonight, will be more than enough tomorrow. I wish I had an amen in here. You wondering how you're going to make it through the end of the month? God's already got it worked out. He's the God who's more than enough. He's the God who sees what you're going through. He's the God who's given you authority to use the name of Jesus. Faith in that name. I have so many more scriptures about the name of Jesus over in Acts 3, Acts 4. We had this going to Acts 19, but you can look those up yourself. Faith in that name will solve any problem that you have. Do we have to stay word balanced? You know we do. Whatever the parameters of the word are, we've got to follow and stick with the parameters of the word. But I like 2 Peter 1:4 said, he's given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We got a book full of holy promises, and every promise in the book is mine. And if you'll use the name of Jesus, there is a promise in the book that covers whatever you're facing tonight. You say, I'm broke. Is there a promise for that? There's promises in the book. He said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. You better go over there and read Philippians 4, get around verse 19. Look here, you say, well, I need a new job. There's a promise in the book for your job. You said, I'm believing for my rent payment. There's a promise in the book for that. Somebody said, well, I got some other deal. There's a promise in the book that covers it. Every promise in the book is mine. If you'll use the name of Jesus that he's given to you, God will open a door, do something else awesome in your life. Whatever he's done that's awesome for you, I know he's done so many things that are awesome for me. And whatever he's done, draw insight, draw encouragement from that. Draw perspective from that, because he's the same God tonight that he was back then. And he's just as willing tonight to help you in any situation, crisis, circumstance, condition you're in. He's just as willing tonight to help you. But now you must use that name. Now you must use your God-given authority. Now, God, I showed you God cares. God loves you. God cares. And that is wonderful because he has a heart full of compassion for you. But to move his hand in your direction, now you have to operate in faith. Now you have to take your God-given authority and use the name. Use the name with a promise of God in your mouth and watch your circumstance change. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We've endeavored to share tonight along these lines that we believe you gave us. And so we know that you're helping your people both here in this service and those who are listening through some other venue tonight. We trust you. We thank you for the word. We trust you to speak to your people. We trust you to confirm the things that we've shared tonight. Confirm these things in the hearts of your people. We know that everyone need some part of this message. And so we thank you for speaking to people now, Father God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, encourage, lift up, strengthen, correct, whatever's necessary in your people. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you say, brother, I heard your message tonight, but I'm not a believer. I haven't yet given my life to Jesus. I want to see your hand because I want to pray for you. You're here tonight. You say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to know. You say, well, how do I know? Let me ask you this. If you were to die tonight, are you sure you'd be going to heaven? Are you sure you'd be going to heaven if you died tonight? If you're not sure, you need to lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Because God wants you to be sure. Is anybody in here like that? Anybody here? You've never prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior. You've never prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior. Anybody here tonight? And maybe you prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior, but you're backslidden. You've turned your back. You've gone your own way. You're doing your own thing. You're calling your own shots. But tonight you want to come home and make it right. Let me see your hand. We'll pray for you in this place. Lift your hand one more time. Let me make sure I'm seeing you right. Let me lift your hand for me. If you're on any of those invitations, lift your hand. Lift your hand. Let me see your hand in this place. You want me to pray for you? Say, brother, I'm not living right. I'm not living for the Lord. I want you to pray for me. Oh, God's full of compassion. The Bible says, unless we repent, we shall likewise perish. And God doesn't want you to perish. So we have to repent. And God will welcome you with open arms. Our Father, we've scanned the crowd. We've checked. We don't seem to have any hands here tonight. So we thank you for ministering to people, even through a different venue, even online or through some different venue. Thank you for ministering to your people, Father. We'll just give you all of the glory and the honor and the praise. Thank you for helping people tonight, Father. Thank you that you're the God who's more than enough. Thank you that you're the God who sees what we're going through. Thank you that you're the God who's given us authority to use the name of Jesus. Thank you for helping your people tonight. Build them up. Lift them up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our prayer team is coming now, and as they're coming, I want you to get ready for this second offering for Mrs. Hagen. This is for her birthday. Her birthday is May 13th, I believe. And what a mighty woman of God. God has set over here at the church, and she does so many things that are just quite simply amazing. Talk about a heart for people. She's just an amazing woman who loves people and loves God and serves the church tirelessly. And the Bible says that laborers like that are worthy of double honor. And we certainly want to honor her on her birthday. And so that's what this offering is for. So you can write out your check. You can text to give 28950. Write in Hagen and then space in the amount. And then that way it'll go directly to her birthday fund. And then we'll present her with that offering around the time of her birthday, and she'll be blessed. So however you're giving tonight. We'll give you just another moment to get ready with that. I'm so always glad my son's always here, but he doesn't like to sit up front. This is my oldest son, Stephen, and he's sitting on front row tonight. Just love him so much. And he's just been the source of just multiplied joy in my life. My son, Stephen, he is a great father. He reminds me so much of me at his age. When I see him, I really don't mean that fun. That sounds prideful. But I mean, I really mean it though. When I see him with his son, and when I see him with his wife, when I see the man and the father he's become, I'm just so proud of him. Give him one more big hand. He's going to get me later. He'll get me later. But I love him. I love him so much. All right. So let's get ready. Let's bless Mrs. Hagen. And thank all these ushers. Okay, Father, thank you again for your goodness and grace. Thank you for enabling us to be a great blessing to Mrs. Hagen. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we'll let these ushers do this. Please stay seated till they can get the offering concluded. I always say these ushers are they're the fastest ushers this side of heaven. They'll have the offering out of here lickety-split. And so just give them a chance to do their good work. And while they're doing that, I'm going to start another sermon. I got time for another sermon. I got a 10-point sermon. I'll go ahead and start that. No, I'm just messing with you. But we'll let them do their good work, and then we'll get you right out of here. We just appreciate it. Let's thank all of our ushers. Don't they do such a fantastic job? Really good people. And tonight, when you leave here, you'll go outside, and our traffic team is out there working. Let's thank the traffic team. Did such a great job. We appreciate all of them. So you came tonight, and it's your first time here. Do we have any first-time guests, Pastor Marvin? So we want to give you that gift that Pastor Marvin talked about. So our connection team folks are going to come back to you now, and they're going to take you to that place to just give you a gift. Now, they're not going to hold you long. We just want to give you a great gift. You came tonight. We want to bless you, so we have a good gift. So let's thank all of our first-time guests who came tonight, and we're so glad you came. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say? Welcome home. We believe your search is over. You found the place, so you don't have to search anymore. And so we thank you for taking the time to be with us tonight. Well, remember to keep Pastor Mrs. Hagen in your prayers, and the folks who travel with them, keep them all in your prayers. And I know they'll greatly appreciate it. And then we'll look forward to a great hour of power right here Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Brother Brian, we good? We are good. All right. Thank you, men. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, you are dismissed. If you need prayer, come on forward. That's why these ladies are up here. Ladies, come on up for prayer. And if you need prayer, go on over here to the guys. They'll pray with you and agree with you about anything. These people are prayer warriors. You want prayer tonight? Come on up here and get it. All right. God bless you. You are dismissed.